Well, I'd like to open our time together this morning by asking you a question. And as always, I'd like to point out that this is a shame-free zone, which is what we usually say before we ask you something that could be embarrassing. So hopefully this won't be embarrassing, but please be truthful and honest. I will ask you a question. Raise your hand if your answer is yes. Have you ever in your life, either now or in the past, identified with the phrase spiritual but not religious? I have. Right? A lot of you have. That's interesting. You know, in my own experience of considering myself spiritual but not religious, I think I was saying yes to a lot of things that were captured by the word spiritual, and I was saying no to a lot of things that were, for me, captured by the word religious. And I think a lot of people feel that way. For me personally, I had a couple of negative experiences in church, and that kind of soured me. I didn't feel like I could trust religious institutions. They did violence to each other in the name of God. They were overly concerned about form and doctrine and not concerned enough about love. And so I bailed on church. But I still considered myself spiritual because I was hungry for something. I was hungry for something. And I think what it was that I was hungry for was an actual experience of God, an encounter with the transcendent, with the holy. And I was also hungry for real community with other people based on authenticity and vulnerability and not on, you know, looking the right way on Sunday morning. So that was my experience. And I don't know about the rest of you. Last night, I met with a group of people. We had all been engaging in 8 weeks of daily prayer. And every day, somebody from our group would email the rest of us and say what was life-giving about prayer and also what our challenges were. And so last night was our last night, and we kind of met and discussed the whole experience. And one woman said, you know, I was actually so surprised by how connected with all of you I felt, and how over time I really found that I hungered to read the words of your emails because they shared what you were actually experiencing. And she said, I felt more connected with you all in these 8 short weeks than I have most of my life at church. And I thought that was really interesting. Now, Episcopalians are both and people. We're not either or people. So, and obviously, I have crossed over to the dark side. I am now wearing a collar. I am religious. Okay? So, spiritual and religious are not mutually exclusive terms, obviously. But you don't have to have either or. So I don't want to set up some kind of false dichotomy between them, but I do want to say that the spiritual but not religious movement has got something we need to pay attention to. And the thing that it's got that we need to pay attention to is an acknowledgement of the hunger to experience the living God in a way that is nourishing. Well, in today's text, today's gospel text from John, Jesus says a lot of things that were really hard then, and they are just as hard now. He says, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then he goes on to say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, and in fact, the word, he uses two different words for eat in Greek. The second word, just to make it more, even more difficult, it's the Greek word trogo, which means to chew audibly, like to smack, you know? So, I mean, he's saying something very difficult to understand. What in the world does he mean? Well, when I came back to church 6 years ago, the text that was being preached on was this text. And I was here at St. Matthew's. And the preacher was Yanni Swart. Do you remember him? Much to our grief, he has passed away since then. But he was this incredible, giant South African Reformed pastor. And here's what he said. And I still remember it because it startled me. He said, you know, we can have lots of different kinds of relationship with Jesus or different stances toward Jesus. One stance is to see Jesus as a great ethical leader who we admire from a distance. And that's a fine response to Jesus. Another response to Jesus is to consider him my spiritual teacher. And so I study his teachings and I try to follow them in my life. And that's also a fine response. But what Jesus is saying in this text is that he wants more for us than either of those. He wants us to have a relationship with him in such a way that we are honestly nourished by who he is. I don't know how you react to that. I know that during the years when I was spiritual but not religious, the phrase relationship with Jesus kind of made me wince a little bit, because I associated that phrase with people I judged, people who reduced the complexity of human existence to 4 spiritual laws that made me feel bad about myself. And people who reduced the vastness of God to simple phrases. At the time, I didn't realize that they were simplifying things, not out of stupidity on their part, but I judged them that way and I didn't like it. But you know what? I think that if we are honest, all of us can admit that we have a hunger for, not for theory, not for teaching, but for relationship with God and each other. And so I want to invite all of us to reclaim the possibility of relationship, Jesus, in a way that is nourishing, in a way that is life-giving, in a way that goes beyond mere admiration or the attempt to do this. If we're honest, most of us can have that kind of hunger. Like the woman at my prayer group last night who said she didn't even know she was hungry for interaction like that until she had it. We sometimes don't know what we're for until we really look for it. And not until we recognize what we're hungry for sometimes that we can be nourished. So you all know, because I've talked about it 400 million times now, that YouthLink is an organization in Minneapolis that serves homeless young adults. And I went there every week for 3 years to volunteer my time there. And one day while I was there, I was talking to a young man whose nickname was Panda. He kind of looks like a panda, actually. And we were talking, and then a couple of the youth started complaining about the food at YouthLink. And then I took Panda downstairs to the showers, unlocked him for him. And on the way down, he said, you know, it really bothers me that the youths were complaining about the food. It's like they've never been hungry. And I said, well, Panda, have you ever been hungry? And he said, I grew up hungry. And that so moved me. But, you know, his point was that when you're in touch with how hungry you are, food is really good. It really is. It's great. Now, I am carefully telling you this story to draw a parallel between Panda's lifetime of hunger and our own. And I want to do that carefully, because I am not saying that physical hunger of a young child who grew up not in Ethiopia or India or Bolivia, but in our own city, is the same as, you know, my yearning for a good relationship with somebody. I'm not saying that. And in fact, it's Jesus himself didn't talk about being the bread of life in a spiritual sense until he had literally fed 5,000 hungry people. So we can't talk about spiritual hunger while our tummies are empty. I want to say that to begin with. But regardless of that, what I mean is that whether our hunger is literal or spiritual or anything else, Jesus intends for his flesh and blood life to be nourishing to us. And any other kind of relationship with him will not give us the full extent of the abundant life that he wants for us. So this is my last sermon here at St. Matthew's in the morning. I will still preach lots of times in the evening this year, so come and see me Sunday evening. But if there's anything that I could leave you with, it would be the invitation to face honestly what your hungers are. I would like to invite us to let go of the habits that our minds go on. I don't know what your habitual tracks of mind are. Mine are usually to-do lists, you know, and theology, I'm sorry to say, but it's true. But I want to invite you to let go of whatever your habits of mind are and instead face what you are really hungry for, what you are really lacking. Our culture doesn't like doing that. We like to be autonomous and independent and successful and strong and not vulnerable. But until we know where we're hungry, we cannot be nourished. We cannot have the presence of mind to eat what is right in front of us. And you know, hunger is simple. It's about bread. I think that we are hungry for lots of things. We're hungry for meaningful work. We're hungry about the work that we do. We're hungry for relationships based on both trust and vulnerability. We're hungry for those things. But at the root of all of our various hungers, I think, is the need for unconditional love. It's the need to be encountered for who we actually are, not who we pretend to be on Facebook. Who we actually are in both our beauty and our flawed aspect, both in the fact that we're made in the image of God and the fact that we rarely live up to that image. We need to be embraced unconditionally in exactly who we are. That is what is nourishing. And that is what God offers us in Christ. Normally, I preach about using our faith to face the outside world, and we should face the outside world. We should use our faith to go out and feed the hungry pandas of the world. But you know what? We will never have the strength to do that unless and until we are first nourished ourselves. And so today, I want to invite us to be introspective. I want to invite us to face our hungers and recognize that in those hungers, we are caught up into the embrace of God that is unconditional, full of boundless compassion, and centered in the person of Jesus. So where are you hungry? In the ancient words of the Sufi poet Hafiz, I invite you to let your cut more deep. Let yourself be caught into the unconditional embrace of God in Christ. May you be extravagantly nourished by that love. May you have life in his name. Amen.